Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Matthew. I am going to read some scriptures this morning that we know. A lot of them we have read before. And if I'm not mistaken, we've sang these songs that we just got through singing before too. And we've enjoyed them. So if I hit a scripture here this morning that I've hit before, just sort of take it as God's word for us today. Amen. We're getting ready to embark upon the Christmas season. The world was changed that night in Bethlehem. We use the word when a wee little babe was born to the Virgin Mary, to Joseph, his earthly father. Humanity was changed that day by the simple fact that God done something then that only God could have done. God provided a way for humanity. God provided a way for you and I to go to heaven. I kindly wish I was preaching solely about heaven today. I had written over earlier today to someone that just a prayer back and forth. And when you have a loved one sick and seems like that things are not going in the way that you'd like for them to be going, I'm going to tell you something, friend. For the child of God today, death is not the final amen. But death is only an entryway. It is only a gateway into what we talk about, the eternal. And I am so thankful today that 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross, that Jesus Christ bore our sins. The Bible says in Isaiah, He bore our griefs and our sorrows, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And then He says, with His stripes we are healed. And we may not see the healing that we're looking for on this side of glory, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Bible says that we're going to be changed in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, that this old mortal is going to put on immortality, that those the Bible talks about that are alive, us, oh, we're not going to prevent them from going up when the Lord calls them home. And then the Bible says that we shall forever be with the Lord. And I don't know about you today, but that's exciting to me. And that is just a security of heaven today. When we think about Jesus, I couldn't help but to think about heaven. Couldn't help but to think about eternity. And so there was my pre-message to what I really want to get into today. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, when you look in verse number 34, the Bible says, "But when the Pharisee had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said," there in verse number 37, "Jesus said unto him," let's read this part together, "'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all," little three-letter word, "all the law of the prophets." It was said of the Levitical law that before breakfast, the Levites, they had to keep 200 laws before breakfast. When Jesus came, Jesus basically broke it down to two primary laws. And that is to love the Lord thy God, as it says here in the Word, with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This absolutely blowed the mind of the Pharisee and the Sadducee, those that was the Judaizers and those that were keepers of the law, that Jesus came to at this time and began to preach such a doctrine. The Bible said that he did not come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. When Jesus wrote this, it was very interesting that how that he also mentioned that you are to love your neighbor, if you look at that in the latter part, as thyself. If you begin to read this over in the book of Ephesians, it talks about husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and how that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for the church, and he emphasizes that no man hates himself. It's amazing how that we kind of get a little bit egocentric in a way sometimes. We get very self-centered about how much we are enamored by the fact that we love ourselves. I don't know about you, but I like myself pretty good. Come on, somebody. But yet in the same regard, we see what Jesus was emphasizing here. And if I was going to take a title this morning, very simple little title, it's just love the Lord. I left here last week with this thought upon my mind. And the reason I believe that the Lord laid that upon my heart is because, and this is me, it may not be you, it may not fit you, but it fits me, is because I see so much emphasis being put on so many other things in the day and the hour that we're living in, that we have somehow waned away from the very principle of what the church is really supposed to be about. And that is to love Jesus, to love Him. Now, if I was going to take a survey by hand today, I would simply just ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to do that. But I would just simply say, if you love Jesus in this room today, let me see your hand. And I'm sure that everybody in this room would raise their hand. Here's the reason why. Because I really do believe that we do. But I love ice cream too. Sherry's got a Millie Mae. She's a golden doodle. I love Millie Mae, and I love Bella, and I love Lola, and I love my grandchildren. I love my vehicle. I love you. I love the church. I love the pulpit. I love this microphone. It's how we throw that word love around. It's what we do with that word love. And I believe that when Jesus began to write these words, where he talked to them, the Pharisee and the Sadducee, there's several things that I begin to think about. Well, I wanted to go back, first of all the way back into Deuteronomy. When we begin to look in the Word of God, even over in the book of Deuteronomy, we see this over in the Old Testament. Chapter number 6, and we see this there in verse number 4. This is one of the emphases that the Word of God, God Himself, put to the children of Israel. And one of the things that he wrote to them was the emphasis was to love God. My point here today is that we say we love this and we love that. And somehow in our minds we associate love with everything else we do. But I believe that to really love God, I mean really love Jesus Christ Himself, I think this morning about that it is not a negotiable love. It is not a love that such as you can do with it or you can do without it. You can love him one day and you can't love him the next day. I believe there is a sacrificial love that Jesus bore himself when Jesus died on the cross. When I began to think about Jesus, and let me get into Deuteronomy in just a moment, but I began to think about Jesus and how that Jesus' love for the Father was a sacrificial love. I thought about this as I kind of processed this in my own heart today. I thought about how that Jesus was there and Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. And if there was anything I would love to preach today, I'd like to stop right there and preach the cross for the next 30 minutes if I could. But I began to think about how that Jesus went to the cross. And I began to think about how that Jesus was there in the garden. And I know that Jesus was looking ahead to the events over the next few days of what would take place. Jesus was there, and I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but Jesus was there in the garden, and he became filled with anguish. His heart was overwhelmed with the emotion of the day and the emotion of the hour, knowing that just within moments of time and just